Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Northwest Bias podcast. I am your co-host, Seahawks fan Adam Emmert, joined today with my good friend and Broncos fan, as always, Jared Tim. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Awesome. I'm outnumbered today, but that's all right.
You are outnumbered, and I'm glad you brought that up. We actually have a special guest here today, and this is pretty cool. This guy right here to my right, this is somebody I've known since Mrs. Van Natta's kindergarten class.
That's right.
From way back in the day. Bleacher Report contributor for the Seahawks. Also a member of the military Seahawkers, Brandon Scholes. How's it going today, man?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on your podcast, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We've been needing to do this.
We need some intelligent guys on this podcast for once. People are going to start to think we're just stupid.
Yeah, I don't know if I can help there.
Well,
I'll do my best.
I mean, Brandon's official now. Like, he's an actual writer. He's a member of the media, you know? Like, I have a journalism degree, but somehow can't do any of that. he's writing articles for Bleacher Report and stuff.
I just want to say something real quick. Yeah. You guys can't see these guys, but they both have the same shirt on. They both have a Seahawks hat on and blue jeans. It's stupid.
We got to coordinate, dude.
Yeah, you look good. We make this look good. Well, sweet. A couple just orders of business here real quick. We just wanted to give you guys the ways to contact us on the show here. One way that you can do that is by just shooting us an email. It's afodpodcast@gmail.com. That's AFOD. podcast@gmail.com. You can also like us on Facebook, A Flock of Donkeys. Please do that. You can find us on YouTube, obviously. Please subscribe. That really helps us out. We really like that. And you can also find us on iTunes now. Got a couple nice comments on there as well. That seems to be really taking off. So, you know, get on the iTunes, subscribe on there, leave a comment. You can also get a hold of us via phone and leave a message. We'll play it on the podcast too, you know, if it's a good one. That number is 406-823-0307. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but 0307, that's Russell Wilson 03 and John Elway 07. Yeah. I chose that. I chose well that on purpose, folks. So,
yeah. Except you put the wrong quarterback first.
No, I didn't. Because there's going to be one with more Super Bowl rings at the end of his career the other. I think that's happening.
That's a true statement. There will be one with more.
Yeah.
Well, unless they tie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one has to be more. I didn't declare
not that they're getting ahead of themselves.
No, you know, just bring it up. So, first off, we're going to just talk a little bit about the beer we're drinking today. Since Brandon's our special guest today, we let him choose the beer. He originally wanted to go with one of the Kona Brewing Company's beer, but I went a couple different places. Apparently, it's all sold out. It must be good.
It's pretty popular.
Yeah. So, so we decided to go with one of our local beers again, once again from Barron Brewery.
Or Byron, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Just down the street from your house. So yeah, it's not like you should know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. I don't need to know how to pronounce it. I just need to know how to drink it. Like, that's the important part. So anyways, the beer we're drinking today is the Dragon's Breath Dark Hef. This is it's an interesting beer. It's an unfiltered Hefeweizen, brewed in the traditional German style, apparently. Came up with it in 2004. It's 6% alcohol by volume. So, you know, stiff enough. You know, it'll give you a nice whiff.
I know I say this about every beer that we feature here, but I like it. That's why we feature these beers, because I like them.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Brandon chose it, so obviously he likes it. But I'm going to be the dissenting voice on this. I actually don't enjoy this beer that much.
I'm not even much of a Hefeweizen drinker.
I really don't enjoy the Hefeweizen.
I don't drink a lot of them, but if I'm going to do it, it's going to be a dark one.
No, so I don't like the light Hefs either. This is the only way I'll go.
Yeah, it's the dark Hef.
All right. So we all agree on that.
Yeah. So I'm rocking the Natty Ice for this. yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're doing there. So, again, the Byron Brewery.
There you go.
Dragon's Breath. I'm going to get this right at some point. Byron Brewery, Dragon's Breath, Dark Hef Ale. Check it out.
Out of Missoula, Montana.
You won't be sad. So, okay. I think first order of the business, we're going to start with Chicken Scratch today.
Yeah, might as well. We got two of them in the house.
Absolutely. In the house. So, Brandon, you were working on an article for Bleacher Report. What's that about?
Yeah, well, you know, when you guys invited me on, I thought it's been a little while since I've published anything on there, with it being the off-season and all, but figured I should probably get started on something since season's coming up fast. I think it saw it was under 100 days now. So.
Yeah. Under 100 days.
OTAs are going on. Draft picks are coming through in practices.
Yeah.
Everything's starting to unfold right now.
And I mean, I'm going to call you out on air. It's been a freaking while since you've posted something on Bleacher Report.
Hey, you know, I enjoy my off season too. Yeah.
Hey, get on his case, man.
Give me a rest, man. So what's this article you're working on here?
Oh, well, I'm taking a look at some of the top intriguing storylines, at least the things that I kind of find intriguing for this upcoming year. And mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that caught me off first was when I read about, you know, the Seahawks, they did really well with transitioning J.R. Sweezy from the defensive mm-hmm. line to the offensive line. And it was pretty interesting when I saw they're trying to do the same thing with a former USC running back. They're trying to move him from running back to linebacker. So
wow. Yeah. So as a running back, was he kind of a physical runner? I mean, was he kind of more of that? I mean, I always picture a USC back as being kind of one of those finesse guys.
Reggie Bushy.
yeah, kind of bushy.
Yeah, no, I think this guy was, you know, he's 7.2 yards a carry. Rushed for almost 1,600 yards in his time there at USC, so.
Wow. Well, yeah, so let's not have him play running back then.
No.
Well, you got to think that he's going to know everything that's inside the box as far as how to read.
Oh, yeah.
What the running back is thinking, so he'd be able to meet him at the point of contact.
Kind
of
makes sense. Being a USC football player, I'm sure he's an expert on box. I'm sure he had plenty of that. So they're making this transition to linebacker. Is he going to play, like, middle linebacker? Or, like, strong side, weak side? Like, what are they
Maybe that's something that they're going to work out through OTAs. I haven't seen anything yet. You know, I saw that K.J. Wright, they're actually moving him over to Leroy Hill's old spot.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see who's going to fill, you know,
the strong side linebacker. Well, They said they were, you know, experimenting putting Bruce, you know, there at strong side. You know, and again, maybe a little bit with Cliff Averill because apparently he played without a hand in the grass, you know, in college and things like that. It'll be interesting to see. So is that kind of an indictment on Malcolm Smith then not being able to play the weak side? Because I thought he played well last year.
I thought he played well too, and I thought that was going to be, you know, that he was going to be the starting guy. But I guess we're just going to have to see, you know, how it works out. Yeah. I like Malcolm. I think he'd be just fine. You know, a lot of people are kind of worried about who is going to take that spot, especially when they didn't draft anybody really high.
Yeah.
With those first few picks at linebacker, but So it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be interesting to see. Now, you know, KJ Wright obviously was a very productive player, you know, on the strong side. He actually played middle linebacker when he first, you know, his rookie year, I'm pretty sure. When Tutupu left, or was kicked off, or whatever, however you want to say it. Like, yeah, they just decided, you know, your knees are gone, see you later. So, you know, he's played around. I feel like this is a guy that's smart. He can actually move around, and he'll be just fine.
I think he's going to, and that's why I think they trust him to make that move, and it sounds like he's doing well with it. So, I like the chances that they're taking at linebacker, and I think because they're so strong everywhere else, I think they kind of have some room to kind of play around with those spots.
There is a margin of error there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and especially with that outside linebacker defensive end position, you see so many guys going back and forth now. You see Von Miller with a hand in the dirt every once in a while. You see these kind of hybrid type of guys coming in. I don't think you guys are going to have a problem. If you see something, you just kind of have to trust it at this point with what you've done with your personnel.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like we always say, in the Johns we trust. Yeah. You know, whether it's Elway or Schneider. You
don't question it.
No, you don't question it. So that's interesting. And, you know, that adds another element of depth to the linebacking core. So that's a good move. You know, I'm a little worried about the defensive line, personally. The injuries, you know, to Chris Clemens or the suspension of Bruce Irvin. Or Scruggs going down, you know, with the ACL.
Yeah.
Those are key guys, you know. And I don't know how the Hawks are going to fare over the first few weeks of the season, you know, without all of the pass rushers that we've had in the past on the field. I mean, Chris Clemens is a double figures sack guy. I mean, he's done that for, you know, a few years. And he's our best pass rusher at this point. He's not going to be on the field, I don't think, for at least the first week or two.
I think the first few games are going to be tough, but the good things are we still have Brandon Mebane, who's, you know, solid on the defensive line.
That's a good point.
And Red Bryant's coming off of his foot injury, and it sounds like he's a lot better than he was. I mean, he fought that injury all last year.
Almost the whole.
I mean, he wasn't himself last year.
No, so. Plantar fascia sucks, and you know, and he was. It almost looked like he was on skates, you know, towards the end of the season because that hurts.
Yeah.
And I had read that, you know, he is, you know, looking good coming back from the plantar fascia and all that. He says it's not a problem anymore. So that's great, you know, obviously. But I'm high on Jordan Hill. Like, I really think that he's going to be awesome, especially on third downs, you know, in that nickel package, getting after the quarterback and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm big on him. What are your thoughts on Jesse Williams?
Oh, I love Jesse Williams. I think it was November. They had me, so Bleacher Report, they actually give out assignments sometimes.
Right.
And they said, you know, give us the Seahawks draft first through seven rounds and who you like for each round. And I actually put Jesse Williams in for the first round pick. And this was, you know, back in November. Yeah. And people were high on Jesse Williams back then. You know, coincidentally, I think they had Trufant like projected at the third round. And, you know,
right.
Flip-flop. So, I mean, it shows you how much things can move, just, you know, how people kind of project where people are going to go. But, I like Jesse Williams a lot. And, maybe it's because I have, the Aussie blood in my family.
That's true. You are kind of a convict. Yeah. That's in there. I mean, Jesse Williams got the YOLO tattoo on, like, his neck.
Oh, yeah.
Something like Fear is a Liar or something like that.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude.
Yeah, and he's a character.
I like his story a lot. I know there's some concerns about him, but
The knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you look at Jesse Williams, how long do you think that he can play on something like that?
You know, it's tough to tell. The one thing I do know is
you're a doctor too, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I know all about.
Stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
The question is how long do you think he's got on this thing?
I guess my thought is on Jesse Williams is you're probably going to get the best out of him in his first 3 years.
By the time they rolled around to that he was there in the fifth round, it's one of those guys you have to take a chance on.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And they had the two picks back to back. And I always like the guys that they take in the fifth round. I mean, Cam Chancellor, sure. Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I love late round guys. We have a history of drafting at least one player in every draft who's coming off some kind of knee injury. Every year. We did it again this year with Quintar Smith. Omar Bolden last year.
And the Hawks had so many picks. I mean, you got to take a chance on some of these guys. I mean, they did the same thing with picking Michael in the second round.
Yeah, and that pick's grown on me.
Yeah.
That pick's really grown on me. I heard an interview with him today. I think he was on with Bob and Graz in ESPN Seattle. And, you know, everybody talks about his attitude problems and this, that, the other thing. Dude doesn't have an attitude problem. Like, I mean, you listen to him talk, he just wants to be a part of the team. And he just wants to play. I don't know what the deal with the coach that replaced Mike Sherman down at Texas A&M and why they butted heads. I mean, I haven't looked into it much. But he seems like a solid stand-up guy to me.
Well, that's on a college level, too, where the college players run those universities pretty much while they're there.
That's
so, of course, their egos are inflated to five times their size.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Attitude problems in college don't really translate to the NFL, in my opinion. Sometimes they do with a guy who's just completely out of control.
Pac-Man Jones.
But usually if you have a good coach that can control it, I think you're just fine.
Ah, that's a good point. So, yeah, he's really growing on me. Now, you had a couple other things that you wanted to talk about here today, Brandon.
Yeah, well, that was just a start to the Bleach Report article, so we can skip over the rest of that, you know, the other stuff. I'll write about it later.
Yeah, just check it out on Bleacher Report, because it's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
You know, the one thing that I really wanted to talk about was this Broncos and Seahawks, the matchup that fans voted on NFL.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say right now, I disagree with it, but it's really accurate. It's, you know, as far as the top two teams, they couldn't have nailed it any better.
Absolutely. I think it's pretty close. And, you know, another interesting thing that kind of relates to this is on Mile High Report today on SB Nation, I can't remember the guy's name who's writing it. I think his last name is Lynch. He's going through and, like, doing reverse order power rankings. And he had the Seahawks at 7. And, and his big point was, well, you know, you're a Cinderella team. You had one good year. Prove it to me. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That's a good point, though.
It's a good point. But let's take and put the glasses on the other side there, you know, kind of your objective goggles and kind of look at it the other way. I mean, Broncos were, had a playoff win with Tebow, then bring in Peyton Manning, and then really take off. And they did it for 1 year. So how
but
can
Peyton Manning's a little more proven than Russell?
Like, coming off a neck injury,
quite a bit.
But when you didn't know if his noodle arm's gonna make it,
I get what you're saying, but I don't think you really have an argument. Because what you're saying is this guy.
I have an argument.
Well, what this guy's saying, you know, you have to prove it right now. Peyton Manning is proven. He's proven himself numerous times already. So we're not. I think he's kind of getting at maybe a potential sophomore slump, which could easily happen. It could happen to your whole team since you have a lot of injuries. as far as what we have right now, the depth of veterans, we're not going to take a step back from where we were last year.
Now, that's true. But I would, you know, as a rebuttal to that is, I'm kind of in the Colin Cowherd thought process on this, where he gets on and talking about Russell Wilson. He's like, why do I have to wait to say that this guy is great? Like, you hear a guy come on American Idol, and he sings like 10 notes, and you're like, star! And, like, you know, Russell Wilson plays an amazing rookie scene, actually ties Peyton Manning's rookie record for touchdowns, and we got to wait to say that he's great?
Absolutely. Well, I'm not a big instant gratification, let's call him great either.
I can't go there right now either. And, yeah. You know, part of it was, well. Hey, I'm behind him 100%, but I just, you know, there's that, well, maybe it isn't 100, maybe it's 99%, because there's that 1% of me that thinks back to Rick Meyer.
Right.
Had a great rookie season.
Yeah, okay, rookie season. Everybody inflates that, I think.
Maybe it was just great compared to, you know, guys like Stan Gelbon, Kelly Stauffer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the bar might have been a little low.
We thought Rick Meyer was the next big thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and Notre Dame quarterback, rah-rah. Yeah.
So maybe we were a little bit too soon to crown him. And
I think so, too.
But I like Russell Wilson a lot.
Yeah, so NFL.com, the fans vote. They've got, you know, the two teams playing the Super Bowl, the Broncos and the Seahawks, and the fans voted.
Well done, fans.
Well, yeah, definitely, well done.
And the fans voted who is the champion.
And they went with the Seahawks.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. So,
yeah.
You know, you can't put a whole lot of stock into it because it's, you know, just a fan voting.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't know if you remember this from last year, but another site had a fan voting on who had the best defense last year. And the Seahawks came out on top.
Really? I don't know that I agree with that.
And, well, this was last year.
Oh, this was last year.
The Seahawks came out on top before the season. A bunch of people were saying, oh, no, you know, the Seahawks don't have it. I mean,
yeah.
What about Pittsburgh and what about San Francisco? But look what happened. Seahawks, sure enough, see the fans
and
other team.
Number one scoring defense in the NFL last year. But I honestly, like, I would still take the Niners defense.
You know,
and, I mean, that pains me to say it, but I would. I mean, for this year only. Not looking into the future, because the Niners are starting to get a little long in the tooth, and I think they're going to start to fall off over the next couple of years. But, you know, I mean, you looked at Justin Smith with the hurt elbow and all that stuff last year.
I just won't even talk about how much depth the Broncos defense has right now.
We are
flat out ridiculous.
You are ridiculous. There's no other way to describe that.
So, you know, it's pretty interesting though, looking at just how they structured the voting because
So
wild card round.
Yeah. How many teams did they put in total?
They put in normal playoff teams, you know, 12 teams.
Okay.
So the Texans and the Colts faced off. The Texans had the better record. The Colts just squeaked in with the sixth seed. And then the Bengals and the Ravens. And the Ravens actually, they had the five seed, so fans had them not even winning the
division
aren't next
year.
Ravens
are making the playoffs. They're not. I'm sorry.
I think they will.
Nah.
You know, with their defense, it'll be interesting to see, you know, just how their defense is this coming year. But
I always count them out, and they always prove me wrong, so I'm just not going to do it. They're going to make it to the playoffs.
You lose Ed Reed, you lose Ray Lewis, done skis.
Who's going to beat them out of that in that division? Who's going to beat them out?
I would say either the Bengals or the Browns. I think the Browns are going to take a step forward.
The Browns, but they won't compete with the Ravens yet. I don't think anybody's good enough to really knock the Ravens off just yet.
So the fans had the Bengals getting the four seed and beating the Ravens in the first round. And then the Broncos and Patriots got a bye.
That makes sense.
One seed for the Broncos.
Two fastest offenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then on the NFC side, the Packers get the bye with the top, the best
top
record.
Pick. Okay, yeah. I can go with that.
And then the Falcons.
Be questionable this year.
That's true.
Man.
49ers get in with the three seed, just like
Who'd they have at the two seed?
Falcons.
Fuck the Falcons.
They're going to be a two seed, though. They're always great in the regular season. You can't deny them the regular season.
And their
season.
Division is not that
it's
great.
Weak sauce, man.
Like, it doesn't matter how much you hate the Falcons. You can't argue with that number two seed.
Whatever. The Saints are going to come out on top in that division this year.
Mark my words. Saints are going to be better. I think Carolina's going to be better. So
it's going to be a way better division, but I think
it's
going to
be better. You know, with the NFC West being so tough, I don't think... It's going to be tough to get 12 or 13 wins in the NFC West. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
You know, the 49ers, the fans have them down as the three seed. Redskins at number four. And then the Seahawks and Buccaneers getting in. So,
okay. The Bucs.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not sold on the Bucs.
Well,
the
muscle hamster's awesome.
Yeah.
So he's pretty sweet.
But Josh Freeman, the guy just falls off halfway through the season.
He's up and down.
He just falls off.
No, I think there's so many teams in the NFC that are just looking to improve. I mean, the Rams are going to be improved.
Oh, big time.
The Panthers.
Cam Newton's going to have a good year, in my opinion. I just think he's ready. He's going to. He didn't play that bad last year. He had a rough start, but his stats were
similar
towards his rookie season. And so if he carries that over into this year, I think you could worry about him a little bit. Maybe not so much in the playoffs as we sacked him like 7 times.
I don't believe
times. Von Miller was Supermaning all over the field.
That's true. But I don't believe in Ron Rivera as a coach. I just don't. And I don't know. And Cam Newton too. I wouldn't take him over Russell at this point. I don't think that he's a better player.
You know what?
What pisses you off? Brandon?
You know what pissed me off this last week?
Do tell. The
NFL's top 100 list. Okay,
right? I hate those lists so fucking bad.
And that's for the players, which that blows my mind even more.
But you know, they had Cam Newton at 46, 5 spots ahead of Russell Wilson.
That's a joke.
And this was based off of last season.
And ahead of Sherman.
Okay, so as far as player value goes, I know we just talked about how we're not that, two of us here aren't that instant gratification fan where we want to put Russell Wilson to the top 5 as quarterbacks. But as a defensive player who has faced Russell Wilson last year, his player value's got to be in the top 25 because you know exactly what he can do when he gets on the field. He controls an offense like it's nobody's business. How do you not rank him higher than that?
Changes the game. He's a game changer. He's a franchise guy.
Yeah, and I don't have a huge problem with ranking him at 51.
I was comfortable with that.
I was comfortable with that, but then when I saw Cam Newton go higher,
I'd be okay with it if Cam Newton was a little bit below him.
My question on that: Russell Wilson at 51, and Roethlisberger was down in the 70s.
No, he was 61.
61.
Ooh,
I don't know that I can put Russell above Roethlisberger at this point.
Based on last year, though. If you base it on last year.
But if you take Roethlisberger behind...
In a single season. No,
that's okay.
I wouldn't rank Ben Roethlisberger ahead of
if you're starting a franchise right now.
Well, when you're talking all-time quarterbacks, I mean, Roethlisberger's up there. I mean, with the rings, I mean, you got to include him with Brady and Manning and Aaron Rodgers, you know.
Yeah, both Mannings. And, you know, I look at Roethlisberger and he plays behind... I fucking hate the Steelers. But he plays behind that leaky offensive line. I mean, that's a disaster.
I don't really care for Roethlisberger too much, but I fucking love watching him play, man.
Dude, he's tough.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He just runs around. How many times in that first week of last season did he kill us on third down, just run around and just sling a 90-mile-an-hour fastball to somebody? God, Peyton Manning went up to him and was just like, you got to stop that third down crap.
Yeah. I mean, he's captain improvisation.
He is.
Yeah, that was a word.
And how hurt does that dude have to be to miss a game?
Guy is tough as shit. Breaks his nose. He has a cast on his head.
He talks about it a lot, though.
It's because he's got broken shit all over his body, and he's still producing.
Yeah.
That's one guy I don't care how much you hate Ben Roethlisberger, you will never be able to question his toughness. By far, I think one of the toughest quarterbacks in the NFL.
I give him credit for toughness.
Who's tougher than Ben Roethlisberger in the NFL? Yeah. He doesn't whine about it. People ask him about it. He says it. Moves on. Doesn't whine.
Okay.
He doesn't whine.
All right.
Tomlin would not let him whine. Shift. It just wouldn't happen.
I can dig it. So, yeah, absolutely. But, so, that was kind of the first round of everything.
What else we got?
So, obviously, a few teams moved on.
So, yeah, 49ers, Seahawks move on in the NFC. Texans, Bengals move on in the AFC side. So, in the divisional round, the Broncos get the Bengals. So, one of the four seed. And that, you know, Broncos got through. And then they have the Patriots beating the Texans. So, you know, 1 and 2 seeds get through there. You know, pretty standard.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. They have the Seahawks going up against the Packers. So the Fail Mary
rematch
the playoffs, which would be cool. I was kind of rooting for that this year, but, you know, I'll take it again if it comes, you know, if it happens. Preseason won't count.
No, definitely won't.
But they have the Seahawks getting by the Packers in Green Bay, where we haven't had a lot of success, but, you know.
But I really agree with that because I don't think their defense is going to touch you guys this year. I really don't. I don't believe in Green Bay's defense.
Traditionally they don't have.
You don't believe in Clayton Matthews? He's raping and pillaging people. Like he's
But when that's all you got?
Yeah.
And BJ Raji, who gets tired halfway through the game?
fine.
That's true.
And the defense did not play all that great against the Seahawks. And when Russell Wilson, you know, what was his
Second start?
Yeah. Just a couple games into the season.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that was even before he had a chance to really get going. And the defense didn't show much against the
Hawks. I was going to predict that game, I think you guys would just out-physical him from the start of the game. If that was actually to play out this year.
Well, look at that Packers defense against the Niners in the playoffs. I mean, Kaepernick he tore them up.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that was an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then the 49ers get by the Falcons.
Good. Yeah. Fuck the Falcons. I hate the Falcons more than the Niners. I do. I
don't. They are a fond Super Bowl memory for me.
I bet they were, You love beating dirty birds and dick.
There was a dirty bird for 2 weeks straight.
Oh, yeah.
We Jamal shot Anderson, it down and buried it.
Doing like the arm pump thing. Like, I don't even
dirty
know.
Bird all over the place. Yeah. Dirty bird just means you shit yourself. Sorry. Sorry. Let's get back to this.
So the Broncos and the Patriots in the AFC Championship. I think that would be a great game.
That's a game that I want to see big time. I mean, Gronkowski probably won't play.
No. Gronkowski's done. Mark my words. Dude's freaking done. That back thing... Like, that was a big concern coming out of college. He's getting another procedure on it. He's been operated on his arm 4 goddamn times.
You know, I have heard that it's a different back situation, but how many back situations can you have until your whole back's just done?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's Jeremy Shockey to me. Uber talented, but, like, always injured.
I don't think the Patriots need him to get to the AFC Championship.
No, I agree.
I think they need him to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I don't know if their defense is good enough, but who knows what the Patriots are going to come out with. I don't think they're as deep as we are, but you can't count Belichick and Tom Brady out. You just can't. Who knows what's going to happen to them?
I can't in the playoffs lately. I mean, honestly, the Patriots haven't been the most clutch team in the playoffs over the last few
years. The Ravens did kind of soundly beat them, really.
Yeah. And
I never doubted the Ravens were going to win that game, really. I mean, when you think about it and you watch it again.
I don't know. I'm just not big on the Patriots. And I think that's your stiffest competition in the AFC.
Yeah.
And I still don't think that they even hold a candle to the Broncos, to be honest. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, I would maybe... I'd put the Texans up there. I think the Texans could have a chance. I like the Texans, but I think their defense...
Yeah.
I think they're going to be improved this year. Really? You know, Arian Foster is always...
Did they lose, like, Cushing and, like, in one of their D-backs and, like...
Yeah, they always put a good defense on the field, though.
Yeah, they're not a poorly structured team. They're not a team that's just going to be dive-bombing year in, year out, and be good 1 year, be shitty the next year. I think they're going to... They kind of playing out, but I still think they're kind of climbing this plateau where Schaub's still getting better.
You think he's getting better?
I do. I think he's reading defenses a little bit better.
I think last year they did
okay.
When you got Andre Johnson to throw to, I mean.
And he's an aging Andre Johnson, though.
Yeah, I'd still take him.
he can play.
He's not so bad.
Yeah. It's like saying an aging Larry Fitzgerald, you know, who wouldn't want him on your team?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no.
Okay, so I'm going to say this.
I'll take an aging Halle Berry. Like, I'll take that.
Okay, really quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Who would you take, Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson? I pick Fitz. I'm all about Fitz, man. I love Larry Fitzgerald in every way as a player.
And a
dude. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy. And that's not saying I don't like Calvin Johnson, but...
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of Fitz. And he said on Twitter this week, a fan asked him where his favorite place to play on the road was, and he said Seattle.
Oh, good for Fitz.
Yeah. Because he likes competition. That's the game.
He said I could barely hear myself, you know, hear anything.
Can't even hear himself think. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Okay, now, so we're all on Team Fitz.
Yeah, we're all on Team Fitz. Now, one other thing that came up this week that I found honestly freaking hilarious is Kenny Chesney was out there running routes at Seahawks OTA practices
the other day.
Apparently, he was a high school receiver.
Who wasn't?
Yeah, I know.
So was I, but I'm not running routes at Clink.
No, you're also not singing top 20 country songs either.
No.
So, Kenny Chesney, he's out there running routes. I watched a little video on it. Dude's tiny. Like,
he's a little dude.
He's standing next to Russell. I'm pretty sure Russell was like 4 inches taller than him. And like, you know, just
his cowboy hat that he wears is just as tall as he is. Pull a Chesney out of the hat.
That's why Renee Zellweger couldn't stay with him. That and that he's apparently gay, which is no, that's just a rumor. I don't know.
I don't really pay attention to the top 20 chart rumors.
Well, you know, Kenny Chesney. Apparently, this isn't his first time doing this sort of thing either. apparently he was out at training camp with the Saints a few years back as well.
Oh. Is this like Garth Brooks taking, trying to make the fucking San Diego Padres? Is that what's going on here?
It must be. I don't know. I have no idea.
Bury that hope in the ground, dude.
And he was also on Gruden's QB camp like this last year, too. He goes out there, like he does like a diagram of like how he walks around on stage on the whiteboard.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. That's pretty good. Because you gotta love Gruden. And yeah. So that's pretty good. So yeah, I mean, I think he's probably gonna make a remake of She's Got It All. You know, he's gonna make a He's Got It All remake about Russell Wilson, about how he's got all the throws, his, you know, his handoffs, his play fakes, you know, all of it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to. To see
hey, you know, Pete made up a jersey for LeBron. You know, I guess if, you know, give Kenny Chesney a shot, too.
Yeah, you give Kenny Chesney a shot. And then apparently Russell Wilson went to Kenny Chesney's concert later that day, or maybe it was the day before. I don't know.
That's 2.5 hours you'll never get back.
Ever. And, you know, when Russell... If you got... I know, okay. There are some stutters there. So, but point being is, Russell Wilson has the worst taste in suits ever. I don't know if anybody else has noticed this. But
nothing on fashion, so no, I don't know.
No. Well, I mean, neither, but...
You're the only one noticing.
God, I'm a
you
chick.
And your fashion, I'm a chick. Jesse, man, I don't know.
Yeah, his person massive shoes or something, I don't know. Like, that's no good. So, yeah, Kenny Chesney, working out with the Seahawks, that's some funny shit.
I don't even know a Kenny Chesney country song. I just know it's pop country.
I kind of had to look it up. I'm not gonna lie. And the only
you just
song,
saved a little bit of face right there.
Yeah, a little bit. And yeah, and I listened to pop country on the bus growing up every single day. Like, so you think I would know a few Kenny Chesney tunes? Not so much. But yeah,
was he around in the early 90s?
I don't know.
How late 90s, late 90s, and okay. Then you know, yeah, yes, mostly okay. The 2000s apparently. But yeah, so Kenny Chesney. They're, you know, Josh Schneider's obviously looking for talent anywhere he can get it. He's looking,
not a 5'4 dude who can tote a guitar. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at the Billboard charts to see if he can find talent.
You know, the one thing where I would actually question it from, you know, just any kind of...
Distraction?
Well, is Kenny Chesney going to be that big of a morale booster for the team? Like, who on that team knows Kenny Chesney?
I don't think Cam Chancellor is rocking Kenny Chesney.
when he was running routes... Was there anybody even paying attention to him?
No, it was all for show. It was just
or was
fine.
He underneath their eye level so they potentially run him over?
He's probably trying to sell tickets for the concert.
The field? Yeah. Hey, they did have him in a special lime green like tank top.
Was
I think,
Pete Carroll throwing him a rock?
No, Russell was.
Did it knock him over? Yeah. Like, what happened here? I'm confused.
Yeah, we're all
as
confused.
To why you would do this.
Yeah, nobody knows. So
Kenny Chesney.
So yeah, so once the Seahawks got Kenny off the field and started doing some other things, apparently they were running some read option in the end zone against the number one defense, and apparently had them all bollocked up, like just totally confused. And so I'm kind of excited about some of the wrinkles that Darrell Bevell's going to go with that read option, because it's like the next step of play action to me, you know, where you've got two running options and then a passing option off of it. And everybody's saying, well, the read option is going to get stopped. You know, Mike Tomlin's talking all about how much he wants to stop the read option, rah, rah. But I really feel like play action would have been stopped 20 years ago if everybody, you know what I mean? Like if everybody focused on
well,
it.
So I think you're sorry to interrupt, but I think you're definitely right. So you can stop the read option if that's the only threat.
Yeah,
I think we probably discussed this before that's not Wilson's only threat.
No.
You know, it's good luck.
No, his awesomeness is the
so
other
So I have one question for you guys as far as your defense goes. So you say you're running these plays against your number one defense, and the defense doesn't know what to do. Do you guys think that you have enough depth to get you past week two against the 49ers?
I don't know.
I know it's going to be a good game even with some of those starters out, but how do you guys feel about it?
Well... What was the last? What was the score against the 49ers the last game?
5,000-2.
42-13.
Well, if you go in terms of knockouts, it was like 3-0 Seattle. I mean,
so I guess I'm not too concerned if we're down a few guys on defense for that game. You know, guys are going to be pumped up. It's the home opener. It's Sunday night football.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd is going to be awesome at that game.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's going to be sweet. And honestly, I feel like Kaepernick's going to have a season this year much like Cam Newton had last year, where he struggles a little bit earlier in the season.
And Kaepernick's more accurate. So I think he's gonna be a little more of a polished passer that can run. I think he's gonna be just as much of a threat this year as he was last year.
Who's he throwing to?
Yeah, that's
that's a really good point.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm looking at.
You know,
I mean,
you got a broken Vernon
Davis
tree.
Still. I mean, Vernon Davis usually
he's a monster. Yeah, I mean,
he plays well against the Seahawks, although he got lit up by
just tell Cam to knock him out again.
He didn't play for most of the game last time because he got knocked clean fucking off the field. It was awesome. Yeah, with a little Bam Bam action there. So, now, I know you had a couple other little quick points that you wanted to go over here, Brandon.
Well, while we're on receivers, let's talk about the NFL.com article by Jason Smith. You know, he took a look at the receiving corps in the league, and he actually picked out the Seahawks and the Broncos.
Interesting.
For the two top receiving corps in the league.
Nice.
Who did he have number one?
No, those were the
Or did he just have like one? Like these are the top two.
Yeah, he picked.
It's gonna be tough to say.
He picked three, and he didn't really pick them in any particular order.
Who's the third?
The Green Bay Packers.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would go Falcons probably over the Packers.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Roddy White's good too.
Yeah,
man.
Julio.
Yeah.
Geez. Yeah, and Harry Douglas is pretty good. He's got an awesome name.
Tony Gonzalez is coming back for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. God, he tore us up. But yeah, I mean,
Your guys' receiving core is pretty good. You know, while we're on the Seahawks, we can just dabble in this for a little bit. Percy Harvin, he adds so much to what you guys are doing. Golden Tate's good. Sidney Rice is just a monster. He gained muscle mass from the time he went from Minnesota to Seattle. He's bigger. I saw him take a couple hits last year. You guys' receivers are looking pretty good.
Healthy all season. Heard an interview with him today. He said he was feeling awesome. You ought to at this time of year, but... I see Sidney, you know, having another great year.
Yeah.
And, don't count out Doug Baldwin either.
Doug Baldwin's good too.
Oh, no, your man, Golden Tate.
No, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, so you like Golden Tate for a very specific reason.
Oh, I'm a huge Golden Tate fan. I mean,
he took some time. I mean, being a member of the military Seahawkers, I mean, you guys get down on the sidelines and stuff during pregame.
Oh, yeah.
He came by.
Yeah, we normally do reenlistments in the back of the end zone before kickoff at Seahawks Stadium there. And, so he came down. There's a he was actually a... you know, he had his Golden Tate jersey after he reenlisted, and he's standing on there down there on the sidelines. And Tate comes over, you know, signs the jersey, and you know, shakes hands with the guys. So you know, all those there's a lot of Seahawks that are really great with the military folks, and it's really cool.
As they should be. I mean, you guys have paid your dues. It's good that they kind of pay homage to what you guys do, and that this organization is actually out there.
Yeah, no, the organization's been great as far as letting military folks in. You know. They have Military Appreciation Day once a year, and they give the American flag to a member of the military to run out of the tunnel and lead the Seahawks onto the field. So, it's really cool.
Yeah,
that is really cool. Tell me a little more about the Military Seahawkers. It's a really cool organization. You were kind enough when we got out to our first game last year to kind of help hook us up with you guys. And get us down on the sidelines before the game. What an amazing experience.
Oh, it's awesome.
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
No, there's nothing like being down on the field before the game. And, you know, if you can be down there when the fans, you know, start filling up the stadium and cheering and the noise off. Right before kickoff.
You can't hear anything.
Oh, it's amazing.
Dude, I was screaming. I couldn't even hear myself. I thought I lost my voice. I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Military Seahawkers, and actually we're entering our 10th year.
10th year?
10th year of being around.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
awesome.
I joined the club probably back in 2006 when I was still in the Navy, found out about it, and, you know, it started out as a club for when troops deploy overseas. It actually started out as a club just to field a group of four or five people to do the color guard before the game.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how it started. Nice. They needed a consistent group of people to do the color guard. And started out with a small group of folks, you know, 10, 15. And from there it grew, and we're up to over 1,000 members now. So when they started building it, it was for the troops that are deploying overseas so they could keep in touch with the Seahawks. You know,
that's
it was right
nice.
Around the time when the Seahawks were going to the Super Bowl. You know, so it was, you know, they wanted to hear what was going on with the Seahawks back home.
Sure.
And
that's cool.
Really, you know, back in those days, there wasn't a whole lot of access to the internet. So if you could get on email for a little bit and read about how the team was doing, you know, that's how it started. Just a few emails a year, just checking in. And then
When I got out of the Navy and the president of the club, she deployed overseas.
Tracy, right?
Tracy Williams, yeah. Yeah, she's the one that coordinates all the reenlistments on the field.
She's awesome.
Coordinates the color guard. Yeah, she's an awesome lady.
And that's kind of how you got your start writing.
That's how I got my start writing.
Yeah, awesome. When you were in the Navy.
I'd just gotten out, and so and she deployed, and so I said, well, while you're gone, I'm gonna recap every game that the Seahawks do. So you, as well as the other folks that were already on the list, could get that that recap of what was happening. Because, you know, back then, we had American Forces Television, American Forces Network overseas. And so every once in a while you'd get a Seahawks game, but very rarely.
Not very often.
You get Cowboys, Steelers, bullshit.
Yeah. Saints lately.
So I got a quick question for you. You said you had over 1,000 members at this point, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody kind of wanted to get in touch with this organization, how would they go about doing that?
We have a website, militaryseahawkers.com.
Okay.
They can go there and sign up for... to become a member. It's free for all active duty members to join, veterans, reservists, retirees. We welcome all those folks. And I send out a monthly newsletter in the off season. And then, like I said, I recap the games. Another thing I do now that American Forces Network shows the games, and also Direct to Sailor Television, they show the games on TV more.
That's awesome.
With the Seahawks being a little bit better.
Yeah.
A lot of it better. Yeah. So the games are on TV more. So I'll watch the schedule, and when I know there's going to be a game on TV, I'll shoot out an email and let folks know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I've had people stationed over in Afghanistan say, "Hey, I got your email, and I stayed up until 1:30 to watch the, or I woke up at 1:30 to watch the game, and I stayed up all night."
That's awesome.
So getting a couple hours of sleep just to catch the Seahawks, kind of feels not so far away from home then.
Yeah. And with the military Seahawkers, that's allowed you to go to a lot of games, which is pretty cool. And speaking of going to games, I'm pretty sure, we haven't announced this yet. August 19th, it is Broncos and Seahawks preseason game.
We will be at the Clink for that game.
It'll be the three of us and our friend Phil. Brandon, you haven't met Phil yet.
Yep.
Great guy, big time Broncos fan. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I just have to even out the car a little bit.
Hey, yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah.
No, I'm bringing my own carload, so.
Yeah. So it's gonna be awesome.
Once again, tell us if somebody wants to be a part of the Military Seahawkers, how do they get there?
Yeah, they can go to militaryseahawkers.com, or they can drop me an email at military.seahawkers@gmail.com. And be happy to have them join.
Cool. That'd be awesome. Well, I think that's enough hot talk at this point.
Unless you guys had anything else you wanted to discuss.
I think that's enough for us to get through. What we're going to do here, we're going to drink a little more Dragon's Breath. I'm going to drink more Natty Ice because I'm the natural. But
we also have to level out the class in this place.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not drinking, you're not having enough fun. We'll be right back, folks. Be back with you here in just a sec. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for the donkey spit portion of this. It's time for some Broncos talk. I'm ready for this, Jared.
The better half of this program.
Yeah, but one of the things I want to start with when a game... God, I can't believe I just let that gloss over.
I know.
God, that's retarded.
You're losing it, man.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to start out with was kind of going back to Brandon's point about the Jason Smith article with the Broncos and Seahawks receiving corps. And we talked a lot about the Seahawks receiving corps, but we didn't really get much into the Broncos receiving corps.
I was waiting very patiently.
I'm impressed, Jerry. Because we're going to get Phil in here, the fellow who's coming with us for the game. He's going to be a Broncos fan. We'll definitely get more into Broncos talk at that point. But so the Broncos wide receiving corps.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive.
It is impressive. Demaryius Thomas, he's a clear number one. He's got all the physical tools. He's just a freak. What people don't really realize is that Eric Decker is the same height, really close to the same weight. People don't realize
Eric Decker's 6'3". The same height.
He's 6'3".
He's 6'3"?
He just looks shorter because he's white. he does. But he's good. He's a red zone
and
receiver.
And slower?
Got good hands, most likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a couple of big targets. Obviously, the addition of Wes Welker helps as just a possession guy. But we got a lot
of
tight ends, too. Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah.
So, I've heard of Welker.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
So our receiving corps is sitting pretty well right now.
I have a question. Where would you rank Demaryius Thomas among the receivers? We talked about Fitz and Calvin Johnson earlier. Where would you put DT in there?
Let's see.
Is he top five yet?
So we got Calvin Johnson, Fitz.
I don't know
that. Andre Johnson.
I don't put Andre Johnson above him at this point in his career. He's never on the field. He's never on the field. He's
when he was in his prime, I'd put him in a top three. Was. Clearly,
you make I'm it talking sound about, like he's an old man.
He is an old man. I absolutely. I mean, dude's always hurt. He's always hurt. I would definitely put Demaryius Thomas over Andre Johnson.
I don't know if I would put him in a top five yet because he'll be in his fourth season now. Him and Eric Decker came in at the same time.
Who are the five guys you put ahead of him?
Well, here's the thing is, you know, we could sit here and search for the five guys that we put in front of him. He's only had 1 year with a legitimate quarterback. He had Tim Tebow and Kyle Orton before that. I liked Kyle Orton, but he had Tim Tebow after that. He had the Achilles injury. I think this year he's finally full stride. So after this season, if he stays healthy the whole year, I think he'll easily be a top five receiver.
Dude's built like a brick shit house.
And he's got a huge vertical. He's fast. He can stretch the field. So I think after this year, this is a prove it year for me. You had one good season. You have another good season with a great quarterback who has a lot of weapons. If you can stand out among this group, you will clearly be a top five.
Well, really, me this. I mean, we talked about Fitz earlier and how we all agree. Like, we all think Fitz is amazing. You ding him for last year after playing with the worst quarterbacking crew in the history of the NFL?
Well, no, I don't. And I think his talent is a top five. But as far as his production, we'll see what he does with it. If he can stand out among this receiving corps with the tight ends and everything else we have going on, he's a clear top five to me.
I think he is.
I think he's a great number one. I wouldn't pick him over a Fitzgerald, clearly, because the guy's just a freak. But if I was starting my franchise right now, since he's younger, I'd definitely go with him. But Demaryius Thomas, I'm super happy about him, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
But as far as production and everything else goes, I don't think he's a top five. In my mind, he's the number one receiver in the NFL.
I bet he is.
You know, and Eric Decker's number three behind Wes Welker.
Also, you one, so that's interesting. You
so
put,
Jared says fantasy draft this year 1, 2, 3.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, that's the fantasy draft right there.
Peyton Manning will throw for 6,000 yards.
We will have 3 2,000-yard receivers.
Yeah, no, that's happening. But
we could potentially have 3 1,000-yard receivers.
Potentially. But I think John Fox definitely looks at the game through a running mentality. Like, I mean, he is definitely a run-first guy. I mean, obviously, you know, with Peyton, you do Peyton things. Yeah. Like, you let Peyton, kind of dictate that. But I do think John Fox has influence there. And
he
so
does.
I don't know that you're going to throw it enough to have 3 1,000-yard receivers.
John Fox's influence on the offense is going to be a little bit less this year since we have Adam Gase as our offensive coordinator. He's pedal to the metal. We're trying to get out more plays in the Patriots this year.
So you kind of feel like Adam Gase plus Peyton Manning is 2-on-1 against John Fox?
Well, I don't think it's even a 2-against-1 at this point. I think John Fox has enough confidence in Adam Gase to just give him the reins as the offensive coordinator and say, Peyton Manning, Adam Gase, you guys do whatever you want to do.
Interesting.
I don't think John Fox's influence on the run game is going to have anything to do with what we're doing offensively this season. I think we're going to use some of his run schemes because he's proven that they work.
Sure.
But as far as what we call as far as offensive plays between pass and run, John Fox isn't going to have much to do with that this season. No. Adam Gase wants to get as many plays off as possible this year. And we were number 2 in the NFL last year behind the Patriots. We want to be number 1. Now that we have chemistry built up, that's our main goal.
Well, hopefully Adam Gase takes the kneel down out of the playbook. Because that really kills you at the end of that.
Well, it really wasn't that play. He just wanted everyone to collect themselves. Shit was hitting the fan at that time. A bunch of crazy crap had happened. Nobody's heads were in the game. That's why he did it.
You think so? Because I look at that, what was there, 30-odd some seconds left, right?
Well, he's not really looking at how much time was left and how in the distance to go. He was looking at the events that had led up to that situation. The players were in shambles. They didn't know what was going on. So many different things had happened. He's like, let's just take a knee. We can win this game in overtime. Let's do it.
Yeah,
it's not like, well, what if the ball gets intercepted? It wasn't any of that kind of shit. It was just like, let's collect ourselves and beat these guys in overtime.
And I suppose that's how you play that when you're at home. I mean, you play for the tie at home, you play for the win on the road.
I didn't have a huge problem with it at the time. But
I did.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the thought that you want to give Peyton Manning a chance.
He's Peyton Manning!
Yeah, I mean, what was that game that Tebow won? I mean, he dumped it off to the tight end and ran for, you know, for the score, so, you know, for the...
Well, I mean, the Falcons had, what, 30-odd some seconds to march down the field and kick a field goal?
Yeah.
I mean,
we've seen it happen. And
well, yeah, in different
circumstances, in hindsight, I mean, definitely give Peyton Manning the chance, but at the time, it I didn't have as huge of a problem with
it. I was freaking out.
Nobody in the organization even disagreed with the call. Still to this day, nobody disagrees.
Oh, so I thought the Broncos were going to go in and win it in overtime.
That's
so.
What I thought. That's what everybody thought. Yeah. But none of the players, nobody in the organization disagreed with what was going on just because of the events that had led up to how they had got there within the last couple minutes. So the thing that we don't understand what was going on in that situation
was where
the players' heads at on the sidelines when they had to go back out there and be like, what the hell just happened?
Interesting.
Take a knee, beat their asses in overtime. And you can do that if you have confidence in your team like John Fox does.
Sure. And, you know, I heard John Fox say that he didn't really regret taking the knee. What he regretted more was the drive
running on third and seven.
Running the ball. And
clearly that's one of those things you'd like to have back. But, right, like you said, hindsight's awesome.
But I looked at that, and that looked like a Peyton Manning check at that point. Like, he changed it. He liked what he saw.
Or it was called in the very beginning, he just went with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what it sounds like to me. Everybody agreed with that play and the one to force it into overtime. So as far as where their heads were at, I don't know. None of us really know. But I don't really disagree with going into overtime at that point. I would have liked us to go for it just because the fan in you wants to just... You just want to win in the end of the game. You don't want to go to overtime with this shit.
No.
Especially with an experienced playoff team. You just don't
want to face them. You play to win the game.
That's exactly what you do. So, yeah, that's that game. We move on.
Yeah, moving on. Okay. Yeah. So, now, you want to talk a little bit about the Quentin Jammer
situation. So, yeah. Adam, you had made a little comment on our Flock of Donkeys area on Facebook about what this means for Raheem Moore, what the Quentin Jammer signing means for Raheem Moore, because... It's been well documented that we're going to play Quentin Jammer a lot at safety.
Which I find interesting. How old is Quentin Jammer even? Like, is he in his 30s at this point?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's in his, like, 11th season or something.
He's been around.
Yeah.
He has been around. Wait, is there a guy that's been better named to be a corner, by the way?
No.
Jammer?
No, he's it. He's it. But, you know, just facing him for over a decade, I know what he can do, and I know who he can cover, but he's the heaviest defensive back. You know, he's the heaviest listed corner at this point. And so he's a physical guy.
I didn't know
that. We're going to move him back to safety. And so Raheem Moore's job is completely safe. We've stated over and over and over a million times that he's our starter, without a doubt. This means two things to me. What it means is Quentin Carter. I love this guy. So Quentin Carter, he had microfracture surgery. This means maybe it's not coming along as well as they wanted to.
He's kind of on the Greg Oden path.
Yeah, maybe it's just not coming along like they had hoped.
Oh, no.
And B, Quentin Jammer's a better option than Mike Adams.
You think he is?
I don't know.
Even if he hasn't played that position.
Cornerbacks have a pretty easy time transitioning from corner to safety.
Rod Woodson, all the Woodsons.
If your last name is Woodson, you can play corner and safety.
Yeah.
So, but I'm a little worried about Quentin Carter's injury not coming. I liked him his rookie season.
You really were high on him.
I wanted a couple of rookies playing in my secondary as safety, and I wanted them to just kind of grow with the Denver Broncos together. I wanted these two career guys at safety.
Well, you love safeties.
I do. I'm a huge Steve Atwater fan. He's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
So Quentin Jammer, that's what he means to me, is that maybe Quentin Carter's injury is not coming along like they'd hoped.
You have two Quintins as safeties?
I know. And a Quintaris. Name that cue.
All these cue names. How does that even happen?
I mean, what are your guys' thoughts on our safety position? If we go with this guy. Okay, so with our corners, we're going with Champ Bailey. It's sounding like Dominic Rogers-Cromartie on the other side. And Chris Harris. Since our nickel package is basically our base package, we're going with Champ, Cromartie, and Chris Harris as our nickel corner.
As your nickel corner?
Yeah.
Because he's freaking awesome. I don't know that I...
But he's also said he play on the outside, but he's a better slot corner.
He is?
Yeah, big time.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I've always thought of him as an outside guy.
We moved him around all over the place last season.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
So, you're looking at that. You got your corners obviously soft. I mean, right there. I'd put Chris Harris on the outside and move Champ into the slot.
Champ's a better outside cover guy.
Well, just because he has a sideline to use?
Gotta have Champ on the outside.
You gotta have Champ on the outside. There's just no question. He's still an elite corner. Everybody on the team's still saying that. He hasn't lost a step yet.
Well,
so people could say that coming last playoff game. You could say that he's lost a step because he did get burned a couple times.
Just a couple plays. And
we're keeping Champ on the outside.
And you know, you look at that. We talked about the NFL players list a little earlier. Mm-hmm. And you know, Champ was on there. I can't remember what number, but I think he was 52. I think he was right behind Russell.
I'd put him in the top five in corners for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Especially with his knowledge of the game.
Oh, yeah. His knowledge of the game, his quicks, everything about him. I think Champ Bailey's an all-timer. He's
doing it well at his age, too.
Best corner of his generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't even think that's a debate.
Yeah, I don't know who you...
Does he go on the Broncos Mount Rushmore?
Yes, he does.
Really?
Bronco Rushmore? You bet.
You put him on Bronco Rushmore.
Absolutely, dude. He's one of the best defensive players we have ever had. And that's saying a lot. We got guys in the Ring of Fame all over the place from defense.
Sure.
I'd absolutely put him on there. Just because of his Pro Bowls, his All-Pro team, everything. Everything you want to go with a chance. And he eliminated one half of the field for like 7 years.
At least.
They wouldn't even try it.
No.
So we're solid at corner. So Quentin Jammer has no business at corner at all.
No, absolutely not.
We just drafted a guy. We have Omar Bolden still coming up.
Yeah.
So the
How's his injury thing, looking from last year?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So that actually leads right into the next thing I was going to talk about. I want to talk about three players that everybody should really look for come training camp just to see their progress, to see where they're at afterwards on the depth chart, or if they're on the team at all. And
gotcha.
The number three guy would be Omar Bolden. Because we did bring in Quentin Jammer. We did a lot of work in the secondary and free agency. So, also, this is another thing. What does that mean? Does that mean Omar Bolden really didn't progress out of his knee injury? But he looked pretty good last year.
Yeah.
So, is that just adding depth? Well, I don't really know what that means. So, I really am curious to see how Omar Bolden does and where he ranks among the corners after training camp is over.
Yeah, just to see where his, you know, just slot to see in the where depth he's at. Is.
And he said after last season, he goes, I'm not going to compete for a position on this team. I'm going to compete to start. And so he's got the right attitude. He had all the tools in college. I'm really curious to see where he ends up after training camp. So I think we should really pay attention to what he's got going on.
Right.
And how he pushes some of these veteran guys that we have and some of the guys that we brought in.
Gotcha. So who's your number two on this list?
Quincy McDuffie.
Who, what? Have you guys ever heard of him? Man? No, I have not heard of Quincy McDuffie.
Okay.
I have no idea who this McDuffie is.
This guy,
Duffster.
The Duff?
Yeah.
So he was a college free agent out of Central Florida. He's 5'10", 178 pounds. He's a small guy. We brought him in as a Trendon Holiday kind of guy. Killer return guy. He averaged 34.2 yards per return in college.
Is he a receiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
But mainly a return guy. So he ranked number one in the entire nation among average return yards. And so, and he had his best 40 was a 4.35, but he's super quick. He's low to the ground, lightweight, super quick.
Yeah.
We signed him as a college free agent so that he could compete for the return job.
So this year you signed him?
Yeah, he was an undrafted college free agent this year. I think we should really look to see what the hell happens with this guy. Because they say he's just as electric as Trenton Holiday. So we'll see what happens with him. But he's another guy I want to look for to see. If he's on the roster, he will be used.
I was just going to ask. This is one of those guys you're like, if on the roster.
If he's on the roster, he's going to be used in the return game big time.
Or maybe he just ends up practice squad.
Trenton Holiday's got the case of the fumbles. I think that's why we wanted to look at him.
Oh, he does have a little. Skis.
Well, when you're 5'5", your hands are like 3 inches long.
Yeah, like a carny. Like,
and like tiny this hands. Year yeah. in our OTAs.
No offense to carnies.
Oh, all the offense to carnies. I've met carnies.
Yeah, they want to marry you.
They do. Gay carnies want to marry me. It's happened in Sprague, Washington. That happened.
But another reason why I think he could be a factor is just from what I've said, you wouldn't think that you'd really look too much into him. But in the first day of OTAs, Trenton Holiday fumbled his first two punt returns.
He did?
Just muffed them, yeah. And so if he's still on the roster, that means he's going to get some big-time looks at a return man.
Gotcha. So, okay, yeah, so that's your number two guy.
So the number three guy is Omar Bolden. The number two guy is Quincy McDuffie. The third one, we're going to play a little fill-in-the-blank with you guys. So
I like this. Okay.
I'm going to do a Peyton Manning quote. And I want you to fill in the position.
Okay.
If you can't complete a pass to blank as a quarterback, something is wrong with you.
And this isn't somebody we've discussed already.
No. Wait, this is the position or this is the player?
This is the player. I want you to name the player that
he's talking
about.
I bet it's a Q name.
Odds are. If you can't complete a plas, if you can't complete a plas,
whatever that means.
Yeah. If you can't complete a pass to this guy, that's a tough race.
It's got to be Wes Welker.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
He's in his third season with the Denver Broncos
this year. Third season. I was going to go Ronnie Hillman was my next guess.
No. Okay, so.
Well, Peyton Manning has never completed a pass to Wes Welker, so I guess that makes sense.
That's true. This guy's caught one pass in his career. He's a fellow Northwester out of Portland State. We drafted this guy in the fourth round 2 years ago.
Is this Ramsey's Barton guy?
No.
He was out of Portland State.
Yeah.
Got to be a tight end, huh?
It is a tight end. So he's only played football 1 year in college. We drafted him in the fourth round. Julius Thomas. He's 6'5", 255 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
He played power forward in college at Portland State for 4 years. He had 1 year of scholarship eligibility left. So he went to the football coach. He's like, hey, man, I think I can help you out. Did awesome. Completely awesome. Enough to garner him a fourth round pick by the Denver Broncos. So we've been high on this guy. His third season now. We've kept him around for a reason.
How I didn't guess this, I don't know. I mean,
third string tight end. Adam, get up on your Bronco knowledge.
I just wanted to make you guys think, because this is the player that I think is going to be the breakthrough player on the Denver Broncos in the 2013-2014 season.
Thomas?
He's spreading guys down the seam. Guys can't keep up with
him. He's spreading guys down the seam?
Spreading guys down the seam. All sorts of penetration into the backfield.
Penetration?
I hate when I get spread down the seam.
You never want to get spread down the seam.
Come on, guys. Take me seriously.
It's painful.
I wouldn't know what it's like.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I've heard. It's painful
but
to get
Peyton Manning's been talking about him these entire OTAs. Joel Dreesden's out until the end of July. He had orthoscopic surgery on his knee to kind of clean some shit up. And so he's been getting all sorts of looks.
So you've got Tammy, you've got Dreesden, and then Thomas.
And then Virgil Green, who is a guy that we drafted along with Julius Thomas.
Who do you predict out of Virgil Green, Thomas? Who do you think's going to have that third spot?
That depends on basically his health status. He's injured his right ankle a couple of times, and that's what has kind of kept him off the field in the last couple of seasons.
He's a basketball player.
Rolling shit all over the place. So that's going to play a factor. If he's healthy, I think we keep four tight ends for a little while and kind of switch our practice squad around to kind of see how it works out. But if I had to pick, I would put Julius Thomas up there. Guys are saying he's just ridiculous to cover. Peyton Manning says if you can't hit him, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
He's making one-handed grabs out there. He's the freak that we drafted him to be. He's that former basketball player that we brought him in the fourth round to see if we could develop him. He's finally developing because he's not prone to injury this year, apparently, which is a freaking miracle.
Hey, sometimes guys just finally turn the health corner.
You know, it seems like guys really turn that corner the third year. You know, you see receivers.
Once they've adapted a little more. Yeah. And I hope that's the case, because he is that guy, that Jimmy Graham that you're kind of looking for.
Sure. You know? Who played basketball? Yeah. Antonio Gates, who played basketball.
That's who they're comparing him to. Tony Gonzalez, all played these basketball. Former basketball athletes. Yeah. And so that's kind of what we were hoping that he was be. But I think this year, this is his year, and that's the guy that I really wanted to highlight, Julius Thomas, because I think he's going to be the breakout player for the Broncos this
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting. I didn't know anything about Julius Thomas. Yeah. I feel like
I've had him for a couple of years, because when we first drafted him, I was like, who the hell is this guy, and why hasn't he played football more than 1 year?
Where did you guys draft him? Like, fourth round, sixth round?
Yeah.
Wow.
Portland State.
Portland State. Fucking Big Sky Conference.
We'll see how
that goes. Fuck you, Portland State.
So he's the guy. And Peyton Manning, he loves his tight ends anyways. So if we have one big guy that can really stretch the field, along with receivers and an underneath possession guy, that just makes it that more dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Dreesden can stretch the field, but he's not Julius Thomas fast. And he doesn't have that height nor the vertical leap.
Now, does he have the hands of a Tammy?
I don't know.
Because his drop rate was ridiculously low last year.
Yeah, Julius
Thomas
doesn't have a drop rate because he's only caught one pass in the NFL.
But he caught it. He caught it, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So do I need to watch out for this guy in my fantasy draft or
you
what?
You bet you're... Yeah, put him fourth behind our receivers.
That's good fantasy update there.
Yeah.
Now, Brandon, you know, looking over the Broncos, you actually came across an article that you wanted to talk about a little bit, and it had to do with Broncos offensive line coaching.
Yeah, so you know, former Seahawks offensive line coach Alex Gibbs, you might remember.
I remember Alex Gibbs.
Yeah. I do. I'll take any Gibbs on my team.
So back with the Broncos. That's right. I want to hear what your thoughts are. You know, we were talking a little bit about the running game maybe not being as big as the... Not quite the focus, but you bring in a guy like Alex Gibbs and, you know, kind of... you know, especially pulling him out of retirement. It kind of makes you think about the focus on the run game a little bit.
You know, it kind of does, but who wouldn't want to be a part of this team? If you can come out of retirement, you want to come out and be a part of this team. But you're absolutely right as far as your run game kind of... whatever.
He's a he's a great teacher of offensive line skills for the run game.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I mean,
he brought in the zone blocking thing, which really did well for the Broncos back in the day, you know.
For like a decade.
Absolutely. Plug in a back.
Yeah. Anyone.
And, you know, the Seahawks really did just borrow him for a little bit, but, you know, back home with the Broncos.
We did have him in C-Town.
But I don't really think that this changes our emphasis on the run. I think we're just looking to fine-tune it so that when we do run the ball, we're 100% rather than maybe some guys really not knowing what they're going to do.
Well, you look at Alex Gibbs, and he's got to be one of the top offensive line coaches in the league. I mean, you look at Tom Cable, Alex Gibbs. I don't know who else you put up there. I don't know that I could name another one, to be honest.
Yeah, let's start with that. Who knows who they are? But, yeah, I really like this. I like Adam Gase going to our offensive coordinator. I like what we're doing as far as our personnel management goes, as far as the coaches go.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything. If we can get Jack Del Rio as our defensive coordinator, Alex Gibbs as our offensive line coach, I mean, we're stacked in every way you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's just
like Pamela Anderson, stacked in every direction.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're keeping Jacob Hester around also to be a part of our run game. So there was this guy, do you guys remember, for the Jets, Richie Anderson, I think his name was. He was kind of a utility guy. He was in special teams. He was a fullback. All sorts of shit.
Yeah. So I vaguely remember this guy.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have Jacob Hester do. He's going to be a special teams guy. He's going to be a fullback. He's going to be a short down guy. And we brought in Alex Gibbs, and that's one of the things that he had mentioned is how he's going to use Jacob Hester in a lot of these situations.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Since we got rid of all the Gronkowskis.
So another thing I wanted to talk about in terms of the Broncos, you know, how... you know, I think this is kind of the first season where the Seahawks have been kind of up there among the favorites. But and the Broncos kind of had that kind of favorite, you know, with Peyton Manning coming on last year. Yeah. But, you know, they're really pegged as one of the favorites this year. So how do you see the team dealing with that this year?
I think they're going to deal with it just fine just because of who the leader they have at quarterback with Peyton Manning. And also on defense, they have Champ Bailey.
Yeah,
these guys have dealt with this stuff already. You know, Champ hasn't really gotten to a Super Bowl. He's never really dealt with being on a high-profile team like this. But he's been around for so long, I don't think there's much he hasn't seen as far as how to lead a team past those expectations.
And I'll say this. I worry much less about Peyton Manning handling large expectations than I worry about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
On an experience level.
Yeah, because of experience. I mean, Russell's always flown under the radar. Peyton Manning has always flown, like, smack dab in the middle of the fucking radar. You know what I mean?
Peyton Manning kind of does have that rap of can't win the big game.
He does.
But he did. He won once.
He did.
Once is more than zero. And I think that's a
but
big deal.
But, I mean, I think every fan worries about the expectations because it's so much easier to be the underdog. So much easier. But now if you're basically the favorite going into the season... You know, every team's got you pegged. Every team has got you in their sights when they're going to play you. They know exactly how they're going to try to play you, and they know when they play you. So it's not a lot of fun being the non-underdog team, but I think if there's any sort of team that can handle this kind of stuff, it would be this year's Denver Broncos.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think you've got, you know, between Peyton being the leader that he is, John Elway as your executive... That guy's dealt with some high expectations, you know? I mean...
He managed them well with two Super Bowls.
Yeah, did all right. I mean, if you just... I mean, even when he was young, he managed it well. I mean, you look back at the 83 draft, and I mean, and he was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you know, he totally handled that, you know, as well as a young man can. Yeah. And so, you know, that kind of leadership, I think it puts you guys in really good position.
It does. And it's actually a really good question that you asked. I think the fans worry about it more than the team is.
Yeah.
That's one of those things.
I think it's one thing and the Seahawks are kind of in that position this year, too.
Absolutely.
I think about it, and, somebody asked me, well, what's it like, Seahawks being considered one of the favorites? Mm-hmm. And, at first it kind of worried me a little bit because, they've never been in that position.
Sure. Ever.
Yeah. Right. I can't.
They were in the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, but this year they're going into the just this last week, ESPN brought out their rankings and Seahawks were, ranked number one, out of all the teams. And
yeah.
So, and I think that kind of, at first it kind of worried me a little bit. And
with a young team.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know how they're going to handle it. But, Pete Carroll had an interesting take. He had a town hall meeting this last week. And he said, that he's telling the team to embrace it, to really embrace being that number, that they're that good and that respected. Yeah. That they're actually deserving of this recognition and to embrace it and focus on it.
And that's a good way to go, because as a player you never know if you're gonna go through this type of situation again. So you might as well embrace it, just let it roll, enjoy it, and see where it takes you.
Sure. I mean, and just quickly on the Pete Carroll thing and handling expectations, at USC, I mean, there were high expectations every single year.
Yeah.
So if there's a coach that understands how to handle that, I think it's Pete Carroll. But but I think John Fox is very much in that same mold. I mean,
well, he's calm and collected too.
Oh, and funny and down to earth. Like I love John Fox. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, there were big expectations on the Panthers. A few years when he was coaching there,
Jack Del Rio on defense. He just, if you're going to let these expectations get to you, you're not even going to play on the field.
No.
He wants hard-nosed guys that are just going to do their job. So the way the team is kind of what it sounds like to me, just from interviews and reading articles, the way they're going about this is just do your job every single day. Don't worry about the expectations. Yeah. Just do – if you have a play at hand, do your job on that play. Take it one play at a time. I know that sounds really cliche, but we have the veterans and the leadership to kind of gear a team towards doing that.
It's cliche for a reason.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's an important deal. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah. Now, was there anything else that you had on Broncos?
Yeah. Okay. I want to give a shout-out to our new Southwest area scout. His name is John Spytek. What a perfect fucking name for this job. John Spytek, welcome to the Denver Broncos.
He's like the 007 of scouts.
He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Does he have a blowgun, like an umbrella that like shoots out like poison darts? Like the other.
Wait a second.
Double O John?
Is this a real thing?
Absolutely. His name is spelled Spytek. John Spytek.
Okay. That guy, if he didn't invent like some sort of like
I think I remember, back when I read Archie's had the spy section with the see-through glasses so you could see through clothing.
Yeah, you're old.
I think those were Spytek.
He could see through helmets looking into guys' brains. That was Spytek.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just, other than that, we had some big time free agency signings. The draft is obviously kind of awesome to watch and follow, but ever since we settled into this whole free agency thing and now that we're going through OTAs, there's really not a lot happening. Guys are getting comfortable. We've had a lot of these guys on the team now for 2 years. The chemistry is building.
Sure.
There's not a lot happening right now. So
you
say
there's not a lot happening and you're shouting out to a guy named Spytek?
Wow. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah, he's like belly crawling in with like a ghillie suit on to like spy on teams to see, who's good and who's not. Now,
so we're just going to kind of let it play out, see what happens through.
Well, I'm pretty sure I saw something like Monty Ball saying that, the rookie jitters are gone. Like,
once he was star-crossed over Peyton Manning, I think he's kind of...
I'd be star-crossed over that forehead.
Yeah.
I would. And
Ronnie Hillman even said that Monty Ball's handled it a lot better than he did.
Really?
Yeah, Ronnie Hillman said he was starstruck like every time he went into the freaking game.
I would be. I'd be...
So, if his jitters are kind of down at this point, because we know he's gonna be our solid number one. Willis McGahee is still MIA for OTAs, which he usually is. But at this point, you got to just kind of feel like we're scooting him out of the rotation.
I don't worry about that sort of thing. Like, Marshawn's been not at OTAs for 2 out of 3. Or no. He hasn't been there twice out of... Yeah.
Well, a lot of these guys have their own offseason regimens. And if you know the offensive playbook, you know what you're going to be doing. Just continue with your off-season regimen. Get healthy. Stay healthy. Come training camp. Let's see what you got.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Well, sweet. That to me, I don't know. Did you have any more Broncos talk, Brandon? Because I was pretty sure that's what you had. It's all I had. Jared, any other points?
That's all I got, really.
Perfect. Well,
right now, that's it.
At this point, I think there's only one thing to say.
Yeah.
That's left here. In Johns we trust.